Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fireside Chicago, where we host fireside chats with prominent leaders from Chicago's technology and business community. I'm your host, Tim Shum. I'm also the founder and president of a recruiting firm here in town called Lucas James Talent Partners. Feel free to check us out if you have any recruiting or hiring needs. On the show today, we have Vincent Payen. Vincent is the co-founder of Homex. You've probably seen Homex in the news recently. They just raised a monster round. I believe it was $90 million earlier in 2021. They just started in 2018. They're rapidly growing. What Homex does is they're a platform for any homeowner that's struggling with maintenance services, repair services. When your HVAC goes down, what do you do? When something's wrong with your plumbing, what do you do? As a recent homeowner, I can attest, it's really hard to get reliable contractors on the phone. It's really hard to diagnose what my problem is, even if I need a contractor, something that I can fix on my own. They're solving that problem in mass. It's a marketplace ecosystem. Vincent goes into a lot of different things about Homex, as well as his 10 years prior working for eBay, one of the biggest online marketplaces that you can even think of. It brings a lot of insights from his previous experience and what he's tackling with Homex, what him and his co-founding team are doing to tackle this very, very, very large space and doing it all in Chicago. Ladies and gentlemen, Vincent Payen.
Vincent Payen, how you doing, Vincent?
I'm excellent. Thank you for having me, Tim.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for carving out the time. It seems like things are a little bit busy these days over at Homex.
You bet. Yeah. You know, we're very lucky to be in a pretty essential space, regardless of, you know, what's happening in the world. And things have been, you know, busy, rapidly changing the landscape of home services.
I think a lot of our listeners like kind of follow the Chicago business tech scene. So they've probably seen a little bit of the PR recently about Homex, but let's just start there. So what is Homex? What's the platform? What kind of problem are you solving?
Yeah, so Homex is a home service platform connecting consumers and service providers and really aimed at making home services radically better. The idea here is that, you know, like for the past, you know, like the beginning, I would say like home services have been about rolling a truck. And when actually we very much believe in like that the exchange should be an exchange of solution. Rolling a truck is just a way to solve a problem, but not the only way. And our platform has been developed to enable customers to get the right solution, whether it is remotely or physically, and get service providers to, you know, connect with them, work more efficiently, get the jobs diagnosed up front so they can make sure they bring the right part to solve the job the first time, and overall like creating what we believe is a more efficient home services experience solution for both sides of the equation.
Okay, so just so I understand this correctly, and I just moved. We talked about this in our previous call when we were prepping for this conversation. I moved in May. I'm a new homeowner. I think it's our forever home. I'm not sure. We'll see how the neighbors are. But you know, just to get somebody to come check out the plumbing or paint or check out the HVAC or any of this stuff, it's an arduous process. You know, there's ways to find people, but I have trouble having people like call me back or diagnose the issue, or there's a lot of friction around like, hey, I got to come check it out first. And then I'll come back 2 or 3 days later when I kind of find the part. And I've dealt with this before as a renter and kind of otherwise, like I know the pain points, but when you put yourself in your customer's shoes, what are some other ancillary issues that they're having in their current state and those problems that you're trying to solve?
Yeah. So I think there are a few, you know, like you mentioned some of them, right? Like the access to service is harder and harder because there's more and more demand, less and less, you know, supply, if we want to use marketplace talk. And by supply, I mean, you know, technician capacity. And that means that by nature, you know, it takes longer to get help, you know, like less transparency, less efficiency. As a customer, like ultimately what you need is you need to understand what your problem is, which is actually a first hurdle, because if you're, I don't know, buying an iPhone, you know exactly what you're trying to achieve. When it comes to home services, you're not sure what you're buying, like because you're not really sure what your problem is.
I have no idea what I'm looking at. I am probably a use case for this. Go on. Sorry to cut you off.
And no problem. And unlike when, you know, you're trading goods here, like every job is different. Like, you know, like every toilet unclog job mm-hmm. is like really different. And you know, like that creates anxiety and lack of control for the customer. You're not sure what your problem is. You're not sure what to expect. You're not sure that your thermostat blinking is going to mean just replacing the thermostat for $100 or replacing your full AC system for $5,000. So number one for us is to put the customer back in control of the journey by starting with, like, before we try to solve anything, let's understand your problem. To do that, we use a mix of online content that we provide for free on homex.com and live technicians who are licensed, you know, people who've been in the field for like 10, 20, 30 years, who actually remotely start having discussion about, like, what's the problem? Like, what are the symptoms? Like, what's happening? And from there, either, you know, it's something that can be fixed remotely, or it cannot be fixed remotely, but, like, they will give a diagnosis, say, hey, like, you know, like, that's what really the issue is. That's what you can expect. These are the parts you will need, you know, eventually, like, put them in touch with a local company or send it ourselves. And, like, the third piece, which was a bit of a surprise for us, which was really interesting, was that people who are just, like, they don't necessarily have an issue. They just want to understand, like, what a job may be. Like, you know, like, hey, like, I just moved to a new house. Like, you know, where's the boiler? Like, you know, like, is it safe if I, you know, turn on or off the breaker that's by the boiler? I had no idea. Like, you know, like, first time. And this, like, education and the learning and, like, advice giving has been very powerful in creating empowerment, in getting people comfortable with home services experiences that historically have been, you know, pretty black box, unsure of the quality. Like, is the right thing happening? Do I really need to do all that work? And give them the choice and transparency. And I think when you start there, like, the experience get transformed, because, like, you know, like, technicians, people who go to people's home, the vast majority are actually really good at what they do. Like, you know, like, they're licensed, like, they, you know, like, there's, of course, like, you know, outliers here and there, but, like, you know, the issue has not been, does the guy in your home actually, you know, like, know how to fix the clock or, like, to change the thermostat. It has been the whole process that's, you know, unsettling and worrying for customers. And I think, like, bringing control and clarity to that has been very positive and a game changer. And I would add, like, on the provider side, you know, there's also a problem, right? Very, you know, like, weirdly, home services, one of the industries, there's actually more demand than supply. So, like, the most technician service companies, they don't really always need you as a customer. They're usually, like, fully booked, right? So the jobs have to be efficient. Like, they have X hours a day to serve people. And us doing upfront diagnosis, you know, helping, saying, okay, like, that's the issue. You're going to have to replace a condenser on an air conditioner of brand X, to not do any sponsorship through your show. Now they know, like, what parts to bring, which guy or girl to send to make sure the person has the right skills. And they fix things the first time. And, like, they have more time during the day to serve more customers and do more jobs. So, you know, like, this focus on solution diagnosis powered by technology and human beings, you know, like, is fundamentally transforming the experience.
I'm picturing, okay, so my HVAC isn't working. It's flashing. It's got a code, 658 is coming up. And I'm like, what is this? I'm reading the manual. I need some support here. I could get on the HomeX platform, get linked up with a solution consultant, diagnoser, potentially could walk me through the problem. Oh, I know that. They just need to do this versus that. Or let me connect you with a vetted screened technician that's part of our platform. Get that scheduled. We'll kind of take care of it for you.
That's right. So first, like, if you do have the manual of your water heater or boiler, like, you're a better man than I am. Yes, like, you come to HomeX, you can search your issue, directly connect your technicians, and there's no between step. Like, we connect people directly to licensed technicians based on the issue that they have. So electricity, plumbing, HVAC, and from there, free diagnosis. And, you know, like, based on diagnosis, the customer can decide, okay, like, you know, like, help me fix remotely if we believe there's a case, in which case it becomes a paying session that goes from $20 to $50. And if we, you know, cannot fix it remotely, then, like, we help find a local provider. So we send someone.
I love it.
Good.
I love it. I read some stats on a recent article on your $90 million raise earlier this year, $500 billion market opportunity. I mean, there's a lot of homes. There's a lot of homes being serviced out there. There's a lot of boutiques, small businesses, one man, one woman shops, kind of business owners out there. Huge market. I mean, talk about, like, tackling a problem. But at the same time, where do you start? It sounds very much like a marketplace business. Like mm-hmm. you need the technicians. It sounds like you have some technicians on staff that could help with some issues over the phone. But this is a marketplace business. Marketplace businesses are hard. We'll come back to Homex in a second, but let's talk about your experience at eBay. You were there for over a decade. When I think of a marketplace business, like eBay is the first thing that kind of comes to mind. Can you talk a little bit about some of the stuff that you'd worked on there and then maybe how you've applied some of those learnings over to solving the Homex problem?
Yeah. So I was, fortunate to spend the last, before Homex, over a decade at eBay, where I did fall in love with marketplaces, starting product management to buyer experience strategy, then ran eBay's consumer business, and then finished looking after structured data and platform. So I was incredibly lucky to see all the sides of a modern technology business. But I think above all, a fantastic school of how a marketplace should function, and the good and the bad, right? eBay is a marvelous company that has, that is doing fantastic things every day, enabling people to be entrepreneurial, to create businesses, to create jobs, enabling the small guys to compete with the big guys, enabling customers to find unique things or use a product. I believe it's very much the sweet spot of eBay, the more efficient way than anywhere else. And so a few things I would say, number one, over these 10 years, as you can imagine, big competition with Amazon. The learning there were really on the level of intermediation that the marketplace needs. eBay was started as a totally free market. It was a platform. We put people together in a platform and they connect and whatever happens, happens.
Whatever you want to put on there, you can put on there. We'll see if you buy it.
And then eBay over time evolve and go, that doesn't fully work, right? Because when there are issues, the bad experience is too penalizing for the platform, even if it's rare. So, we need to manage the marketplace and have a bit more of an active role in it. And say eBay starting to put buyer protection in place to manage payments, to hold funds until make sure people were happy. And Amazon on the other side, on the other hand, was it's fully intermediated. You will pay us, we will pay the seller, we guarantee everything, and we will manage the shipping and the warehousing and etc. And to a point where it gets very close to direct retail experience for most of the head items, and then they use the marketplace to cover the tail in a very efficient way. The two models are interesting. There are pluses and minuses on each side. When I looked at home services and the sensitivity to the experience and the inconsistency that exists today, I think the hybrid model that Amazon is using felt more appropriate to deliver the step change experience that we're after. I think there are lots of platforms out there that do connections without having skin in the game, that end up really being lead gen platforms, which are not satisfying customers. And in a spirit of differentiation and pushing the ball forward, as much as it's harder to build, we believe in a model where we had more control of the experience, where we would do some of the things ourselves. We would of course leverage third-party providers to provide some physical service, but and we're still trying to find the sweet spot. I don't think it's a copy paste from commerce of goods, just because of the nature of services, because it's not really easy to productize. And we're maybe if we talk in a year, we'll give you a slightly different answer. But yeah,
I'd love to. I'd love to. So I got to imagine being product leader, data analytics leader at eBay, and I've never worked in a company like that. I got to imagine the amount of data at your fingertips is it's got to be nuts, right? So then now you're looking at the home services industry that's fragmented. Where do you start to analyze how we should build the platform? How do we establish the marketplace on both sides of the marketplace when the data might not be as readily available in the form that you need it?
So, a few things. I would say number one, yes, there are years of my career when I spent a year trying to move under 50 basis points of something. If we make checkout 25 basis points better conversion, we're changing the world. And At the scale of a business like eBay can, you know, like is not huge. Correct. Now in a world where like, if I don't see the difference in like an A-B test over 3 days, like this is not big enough. Like, you know, like it has to be see from space change. So I think, that's one of the difference, which is liberating and healthy. Like, you know, like the, like making sure you work on the right things, you know, because like you have everything to create has to be very clear. I think one of the difficulties is like, to your point, like there's no data as a baby company. And like I'll talk in a minute about stuff we've done to scale and get there quickly. But there's also no real benchmark when you try to do something that hasn't been done. You know, like if I work at an insurance company and I look at another insurance company, even they're better than me, like it's a clear benchmark, right? And like, you know, in mature experiences, the innovation or like your guide, like your, you know, North Star can unfortunately sometimes become like, well, who's the best at what we do? Not necessarily, well, who's doing something different or should we be something different? And, you know, like the measure of success and like, you know, what we should achieve like becomes much more on you to define. Like, you know, like for us, like no one was doing virtual home services. So it's not like we could look at someone and say, oh, they're doing that well. How could you do it better? It was, all right, like we need to find the good, better and, you know, like perfect bar. And, you know, like I think to me, that comes back to the team and hiring the right people who have the like level of self-criticism, energy, entrepreneurship to just, you know, like wake up and think about, well, like, you know, should we be doing it differently and being okay with, you know, we're failing and making the mistakes and trying something quickly and moving on. But so I think like that's why, like the second person question on marketplace and data. So a few key things, like I had two big fears as we are, you know, like think about the thing that wakes you up at night as an entrepreneur. Two things worry me. Like one, how do we, you know, get big enough, quick enough so we can actually learn and have signal on? And our answer to that was to invest heavily in machine in content generation by machines and build lots of traffic as quickly as possible. So I think next month we should pass like the bar of like the million monthly visitors on HomeX in a year and a half. So, you know, like that's it was not to make money. Like, you know, we're not monetizing directly that traffic. Like it was really just, I want as many people as I can on the site so I can then learn as quickly as I can.
You needed the data set first. It's all like
exactly. So, and yeah, now we're at a point where we have like a million people a month who, you know, like come to homex.com. We can, you know, run tests. We can understand. And again, like if we were looking as a team for basis points, like, yeah, it's still small or like, you know, like, hey, let's run a 2 month A-B test and like argue on the results. Like at this point, like, you know, where it has to be things that you see from space and like, you know, like we're not going to argue about key values and stuff like that. Like, it's just like, do we have signal that it's better? And, you know, the more we go, the easier it gets.
So this is very much like, when I think of eBay, like the regional location aspect, because of mail service and FedEx and UPS, you know, kind of is a non-existent variable to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. And when I think of what you're doing, like the technicians have to be local, the virtual support doesn't need to be local, but then the homeowner lives in a certain location in the country. Did you look at this as more like a, like kind of like how an Uber, like a Spot Hero scaled and said like, all right, we need to start at a pinpoint and we need to hammer the supply as much as we can, get enough technicians, screen them, then go to the, like start running tests, drive people to the website in a specific location? Or did you think about it a different way to get to that data set that you're talking about?
Yeah. So like a year from now, I may give you a different answer, but like that was my second problem and question. Like, you know, how do we, you know, deadlifting a marketplace is incredibly hard. You know, like we've seen, you know, Uber, you know, drive empty cars in like the, you know, when they were trying to activate the city just to make sure they had enough supply. And then like, you know, like try to balance the demand. And so I wanted to find like a different way of doing that was more financially efficient, partly because like I really didn't want to give away like all of the company in the early years because of the financial inefficiencies of starting a marketplace, which are big. So we had these, with this question, like, do we need to do geo by geo? Do we, you know, how do we balance supply and demand? And like, here's what we did. On supply and demand, we decided to actually build them independently. So we said, all right, like, you know, like supply. So we want people on our platform. We want service providers on our platform to whom we can push physical jobs to if we cannot fix them remotely. These people are really busy. As we discussed, like, you know, like there's more demand than supply, like overall in the industry. So, you know, like just calling them and saying, hey, do you want our jobs is actually not going to work and be efficient. So we had to find another way of, you know, like of you know, like bringing in the platform. And here what we did is built our, you know, like B2B, the B2B side of our business that powers contractors with online booking, scheduling, live chat, like automation of their customer connections, I would say. And, you know, like even before talking about pushing them jobs, just let's create something that adds value for them. And over the past 3 years, we now have 1,000 and 1,000 of contractors across the country on the platform. And most of them, like, we haven't even told them, hey, we would like to push.
We could give you business.
Like, you know,
wow. Interesting.
And on the consumer side, my worry was like, well, like, what if we cannot fix it remotely? You know, like, you know, people are going to be upset. And I was wrong there. What we learned is that when we can fix it remotely, it's magical. If we just give expert advice and diagnosis and say you need to find someone, you know, like locally to do it, and if only we don't have anyone in your area, people were fine. They were like, that was really huge help. Thank you. And I think I was putting the bar too high. I was just like overly worried about the edge case and like the perfect thing. But like, you know, in the process, I missed the fact that actually just keep getting halfway at the right price or just for customer acquisition is actually like enough. And like, you know, we're building it. And like, and then we tell these people, hey, good news. Now we can actually book services for you in your area as well. But they're already customers and they're happy. So to answer your question, we did not then worry too much about, okay, like, do we need to do one geo and manage like supply and demand, like really complicated. We say like, hey, like we're going to go all out on remote home services, which is by definition universal. I mean, like, I think we had customers in Canada from Canada on week two. Like we didn't even know how to take payments from Canada. We're like, oh, it has to be free because we can't.
At least you got the data points. That's nice. Everybody needs like an Uncle Jack that was a former carpenter, that's a handyman, that can answer anything, that's always willing to help out. And I think that goes a long way. And I think, you know, that kind of goes to like the folks at Home Depot can at least walk you through a potential solution or give you options, or whether you buy or not, like at least you kind of walk away with something. And I think that kind of goes a long way. That's super interesting. Now let's talk about, I mean, the growth has been nuts. I started my business in July of 2018. You started this in May, at least from LinkedIn of 2018. And I think I saw just under 200 employees, hundreds of percent growth. Yeah. Kind of year over year, thousands of contractors on the platform. Okay, where are you at today? And you just raised a bunch of money. You know, what's next for Homex over the next couple of years?
Yes, I joined the company about like a year after it was born. But like, so the company is a bit older than my tenure. But we've been very fortunate. Like we have now, you know, like 300 something employees on the technology side. I think we're doubling every 6 months at this rate in terms of employees. Like the B2B side have been growing 5x, you know, like year over year for the past 3 years. So, and we're, you know, on track to keep that going, which is, you know, like really exciting. And we're getting into a size where it gets tougher, right? Like at like, oh, great. Like you have like, you know, like $100,000 of ARR, like great. You did it like five times. Like when you're in like the, you know, 10 million plus, like, you know, keeping the pace is tough. So, so I think we've been very happy, being able to do there. And then the consumer side, as I told you, I made the point to bet on the organic traffic on the consumer side, not wanting to play the SEM, buying customers, like, you know, like just like, you know, like kind of like more classical, you know, way of like building demand. And what's been interesting is that as we did that, something we didn't think of, like the B2B2C, so home warranty companies came to us and say, ooh, what you guys are doing is really cool. Like, could we talk? And we hadn't, you know, thought at that point of the you know, telemedicine model, where actually like the health, you know, like insurance companies have an incentive in giving that to their customers because like, or the clients, because like it actually saves them claims. And we, so over the past, year, 6 months, like you may have seen, some are public, some are not public yet. Like, I mean, Allstate is a public one. We started working with partners in the home warranty and home insurance field, smart devices, to actually do telemedicine for your home. For in home warranty, like we save, like, let's say, like, you know, like 10 to 20% of truck calls. So like one connect out of 10, where like the home warranty company would have had to send someone. We actually managed to fix it remotely. And if it's not so remotely, like they have a diagnosis, which makes it more efficient. So to answer your question, like the raise is partly to, you know, like supercharge these pieces of the business that we didn't even do it, you know, like we're not planning on growing, and that are like organically getting like tons of traction. So it means, you know, hiring technicians, hiring engineers, like the, you know, from a, you know, platform stability, like you can, you know, like imagine that like the game gets really different, like based on your partners, based on, you know, who you're powering, based on the volume that you get. And of course, like a big investment, which I think will always be the case on the science and diagnosis side. Like we're very lucky to have some of the best folks in the world in Cambridge, England, some of whom have, you know, created early versions of what Amazon bought became Alexa, who are, you know, building diagnosis engine for home service and like a knowledge graph that powers everything we do across. So we can be efficient. So we can give self-serve, you know, self-serve diagnosis, ask the right question, like, you know, like link parts to jobs, to skills, like and link symptoms to, you know, like likely outcomes and issues, and make it more and more self-serve, more and more efficient. So we move from a world from today, 100% of the interactions go to relatance technicians. As we advance, I would love to see like that to become like 90, 80, 70. And like some of them, the people will be able to self-serve. Some of them, like someone who's trained but not licensed, can actually use this knowledge to guide someone and ask the right question, a bit like the nurse before the doctor, to add more efficiency and to make the whole system work better and better.
Well, I think like it's such a big ecosystem. Just thinking about it as I have a problem, I need a solution to that problem, then I kind of go on with my day and I wait for another problem to kind of happen. Like you're right, there's insurance providers, there's like benefits of preventative maintenance. We talked about this when we talked last, like I'd love a solution because I'm not very handy and I don't know how any of this stuff works. If I could just outsource everything at some point and just get an efficient way to do that. You know, like there's so many things that kind of evolved to, which is super exciting. Switching gears a little bit. I thought this was interesting, and I'm a recruiting talent guy. Everyone knows kind of my business and where I come from. It's very well known and documented.
Yeah.
That the skilled trades industry and manufacturing environments, electricians, plumbers, like the 18-year-olds that are graduating high school that grew up on an iPhone, they're not necessarily jacked about kind of getting into the industry, and it's causing kind of massive supply and demand dynamics. How are you able to staff up like your internal team to make sure that you're able to support all these requests that come in?
Yeah, no, like I think I saw like last month, like the job openings in the Northeast for licensed technicians were up like 30 or 40% year over year, and they were not getting filled. Which is which is like a huge risk for the industry overall. Like it's a bit like, you know, there's like a, you know, like a global warming equivalent tipping point of at one point, like, you know, like no matter what you do, like there's going to be a big problem. We're, you know, getting close to that in home services. As like there is like more people who retire with lots of knowledge and like, you know, like not enough people who enter the trades or not efficiency. So like that's why, you know, part of our mission with remote help, like having one person be able to help like 30 or 40 a day versus 3 or 4, is kind of an attempt to buy ourselves time until we can hopefully, you know, like get into the world where like these jobs are sexy again and make them sexy. Like the you know, like maybe like some people would not want to be in a truck all day long. Maybe they would love to be like, you know, like a licensed technician that helps people remotely. And I think like technology is, you know, hopefully going to make these jobs cooler and cooler, even on the field. Like there's something, you know, pretty magical about fixing stuff. But anyways, like for us, like it was a new challenge. And what we did in our focus for our remote technicians, and I would say like, it was really important for us at least like at this stage that like the remote technicians are our employees. the physical service, as I told you, like some of it we can do, some of it we can't, you know, because of the coverage, and it has to be a marketplace for the remote technicians, because it was so new, because there's no benchmark. Like, you know, we don't know if someone's going to be good at it or not. Like, we had to at least control the experience right now. I hope that we'll marketplace it in the future as we scale. But our prime target were injured or retiring technicians. And there is like this entire population of fantastic people who are so knowledgeable, who have spent 20, 30, 40 years, 50 years in a truck. And at one point, like, who cannot, you know, like, cannot or do not want to be, like, you know, crawling in an attic, like, when it's, you know, like 100 degrees, you know, anymore. And, you know, the outcome, like, without an outlet like we're providing, is like, you know, the knowledge is kind of lost. I mean, they will have their friends, neighbors, etc. But, like, you know, like, there's no way to kind of recycle this talent and this capacity. So, you know, hiring technicians, you know, with that profile is what we've done. And it's been we have, like, you know, fantastic story. You should talk to some of them if you want, or like anyone should go to homex.com and try start a session and talk to some of these guys who are just like fantastic. And they're so happy to be able to keep helping people. So I think it's a true, I'm not like a recruiting professional like you, but like to me, it felt like a great like win-win in terms of like talent utilization.
It's a very creative way to solve that problem. And it's all across. I mean, you're a tech guy, right? There's like, how do you get software engineering talent these days, right? Or how, like, we'll get to Chicago in a second, but like, I've talked to folks that are like, okay, we need to open up like really awesome, sexy housing for recent college grads to where they can hang out with each other and like anything they need, video games, like pinball machine, whatever. Why? So we can keep that talent in Chicago and we can hire people, because that is it is really hard. We cannot accomplish our goals unless we hire people. So I just think that's a really creative, like, win-win-win for everybody there. So you spent some time in Canada, you spent some time San Francisco, looks like Chicago. Mm-hmm. You could have started this anywhere. Like, why Chicago? What are some of the benefits of, you know, creating this awesome organization here?
Yes. So a few things. So one, like Michael Warner, with whom I co-founded the company, is from Chicago. So there was, like, you know, like a marker there that was interesting. Like, we had the discussion. Like, I love Silicon Valley. I spend lots of my life there. I also think that my dream was to, you know, like, mix like the entrepreneurship and innovation that we can see in the Valley, but like with like some kind of like pragmatism that we can have outside of Silicon Valley. Like, you know, not everyone has an electric car. Not everyone has 5G. Like, you know, like sometimes, like, when you leave, and like, I don't know if you live there or not, like, you it's a bit of a bubble, and like you kind of forget, like, you know, regular life or regular, you know, sometimes, like, you know, people problems. And like, so being outside of, you know, like Silicon Valley, given like that we're doing a business that was very human, very, you know, like very real in nature, was kind of appealing as a test, right? Like, you know, like I thought it was good to have that perspective and try to mix both. I think I've been blown away by the talent that we've been able to find in Chicago. I mean, we're lucky, like, lots of big tech companies are also doing that. So it kind of, like, you know, creates this incestuous pool of, like, now people who are, like, you know, coming here, who, you know, can afford a house versus, like, you know, having to rent a one bedroom for, you know, like crazy amounts, like in Silicon Valley, and have a great life. And I think, like, the more tech companies doing, like, cool, interesting, cutting-edge stuff like we can bring in Chicago, I think the better it is. Like, you know, like the best thing that happened to Lyft was Uber. Like, very much believe, like, you know, like, sometimes, like, you know, like, competition is healthy, and there's so much to do, and it's like such a great place to be that I think you know, like I'm very happy that we have a base here and that we'll keep expanding it.
I love it. Obviously, I'm a Chicago technology business advocate. You know, the more companies and businesses that are thriving, people are going to flock here if we continue to do what we're doing here in Chicago. Yeah. But Homex is well on its way. If you haven't checked out Homex before, you got a problem with your home, check out Homex. Obviously, Homex is hiring. So if you're interested in the company, definitely reach out to them. Vincent, if folks want to reach out because they're a consumer, they're looking for a job with Homex, where can they find you? Where can they find Homex?
Yeah, homex.com, whether you need help with your home, want to try a remote assist session, get in touch with us on the B2B side, or, you know, get in touch with me directly. You know, we're still like a baby company. So like you are, you know, like your email should make your way to me. And yes, like don't, please reach out. And Tim, thanks so much for the time. You know, like really an honor to be a
study. Yeah, absolutely. Always a pleasure. You know, you're on to great things, and we will have you back within a year or two to kind of see all the progress from there. And I will call Homex next time something breaks, no doubt. Vincent, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, everybody. This is Tim. Hopefully you enjoyed that conversation with myself and Vincent. I really believe that Homex is on to really, really good things. Obviously, the proof is in the pudding. I'd love to have Vincent back on the show maybe 2 or 3 years down the road and see what they're able to accomplish. If you haven't already, please hit that subscribe button. You can follow us on Instagram. You can follow us anywhere that you get podcasts. You can follow us on our LinkedIn company page for future updates, as well as clips from former shows. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.